This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's nice to see some familiar faces. Nice to see some unfamiliar faces. That's always great to meet and make new friends. I bring you greetings from All Nations Church in Cardiff, which is where Saskia and I are based, and we live there. And they send you their love. They're praying for you. I think you're wonderful. It's great coming into City Church Coventry this morning. Church I grew up in used to be called City Church. City Church Cardiff when I was a boy, so when I came in, I remembered coming into schools like this when I was a little boy and thinking, oh, it's nice to be home. It's great whenever you come together with God's people that you're at home, isn't it? It's good to be home. And even if we've never met before, it's good to meet friends and family. God's good, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Now, before we turn in our Bibles to a scripture, I just want to pick up something that the Lord said to us this morning, because that is going to be the key for us, that's going to help us in our talking this morning. The Lord spoke to us. The Lord spoke to us and said, if I can just paraphrase slightly the prophetic word that Matthew brought, today is a day for fresh seeing of Jesus. I heard that. Did you hear that? Okay. If you couldn't hear it over the music, tell the musicians later on, but I could hear that. And the Lord said to us, it's a day of fresh seeing of Jesus. And that it was a day in which God was fulfilling promises. Did anyone else hear God say that?
Yeah.
Ben heard it at the back, so good. I'm not making it up. Good. The Lord spoke to us, not merely a man, the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive.
Yes.
Isn't he?
Amen.
Yes? Yeah? And because he's alive, he speaks, doesn't he?
That's right.
Yeah? He spoke to us this morning and said, today is a new day of receiving new light and life concerning himself. And it's a day in which he is fulfilling promises. Aren't you glad you're alive?
Yeah.
So today I'm going to give you a key that is going to help you with that in your life. Are you looking forward to that?
Oh, yeah.
So my wife and I have recently moved house. We moved into the city of Cardiff, and We moved into a house about 3 or 4 months ago, and my wife has always wanted a memory foam mattress. You know what memory foam mattress is? Yeah. They're the world's most comfortable mattresses. They weigh 3,000 tons. You know? They're incredibly heavy, but as you can tell, my wife is 6 months pregnant, and so I thought, new house, new baby. I couldn't envisage her lying in bed uncomfortable this winter with the thought that I didn't buy her a memory foam mattress. So being the man of faith and power I am, I found a closing down sale and I bought one in a closing down sale.
Excellent. Good stewardship.
Yeah. So I had it delivered to the house just before we were moving in, and I arranged that I would get the keys of the house to get into the house. That's what you need to get into a house, isn't it? Unless you're a robber, but we're not robbers, are we? And the house we were buying was empty because we were buying it from the immediate neighbours. So the neighbours owned two sides of semi-detached houses, and they had lived in the whole of it, and they were returning it to its previous condition, which was amazing, and we were going to live in this side. So they left us some keys, and I had this mattress delivered one Friday afternoon, the heaviest thing in the world, and I decided that I was going to move it into our new house as a surprise for Saskia. But I had one big problem, which was that I couldn't open the door. And none of the keys that the estate agents had left me, none of the keys that the next door neighbours had left me, none of the keys that the next door's next door neighbour, who found me on the streets, I think she thought I was breaking in, none of the keys that I had worked. Were they faulty? No, as I've learned to my cost. I just didn't know how to open the door. I didn't know how to open the door. There was a knack. There is a knack to opening our front door that I've learnt, but I had to learn how to open the door. It took me quite a long time. Once I'd finally broken in, got into my new house, there was an alarm. I didn't know how to turn off the alarm. It was a great way to meet the neighbours. But you know, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says to Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom.
Yeah.
And whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven, whatever you bind will have been bound. And the Lord wants to give us a key today, and not only give us a key, but teach us how to use it so that we can unlock revelation of him and the promises of God. So will you turn with me in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 7, please? Daniel chapter 7, because the Lord wants to give us a key, not only for us to have, but a key for us to use in unlocking the promises of God. How many of you know that God is a God of promise?
Yes.
And how many of you know that God is a God who keeps his promises? For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. There's a job for us to do, isn't there?
Yeah.
Jesus says the yes, but who says the amen?
Yeah, we do.
That's right, we do. There's a job for us to do. Now, we're going to read a passage of scripture this morning, and we're going to read from Daniel chapter 7, and in here is a key for us that is going to help us unlock revelation of Jesus and unlock the promises of God in our lives. So I'm reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. And it says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream with visions in his mind as he was lying in his bed. He wrote down the dream, and here is the summary of his account. Daniel said, in my vision at night I was watching, and suddenly the four winds of heaven stirred up the great sea. Four huge beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion, but had eagle's wings. I continued watching until its wings were torn off. It was lifted up from the ground, set on its feet like a man, and given a human mind. Suddenly, another beast appeared, a second one that looked like a bear. It was raised up on one side with three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. It was told, get up, gorge yourself on flesh. While I was watching, another beast appeared. It was like a leopard with four wings of a bird on its back. It had four heads and was given authority to rule. While I was watching in the night visions, a fourth beast appeared, frightening and dreadful and incredibly strong, with large iron teeth. It devoured and crushed, and it trampled with its feet whatever was left. It was different from all the beasts before it, and it had 10 horns. While I was considering the horn, suddenly another horn, a little one, came up among them, and three of the first horns were uprooted before it. There were eyes in this horn like a man's, and it had a mouth that spoke arrogantly. As I kept watching, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white like snow, and the hair of his head like whitest wool. His throne was flaming fire, its wheels were blazing fire. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from his presence. Thousands upon thousands served him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was convened, and the books were opened. I watched then because of the sound of the arrogant words the horn was speaking. As I continued watching, the beast was killed, and its body destroyed and given over to the burning fire. As for the rest of the beasts, their authority to rule was removed, but an extension of life was granted to them for a certain period of time. I continued watching in the night visions, and I saw one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was escorted before him. He was given authority to rule and glory and a kingdom, so that those of every people, nation and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is one that will not be destroyed. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was deeply distressed within me, and the visions in my mind terrified me. I approached one of those who was standing by and asked him the true meaning of all this. So he let me know the interpretation of these things. These huge beasts, four in number, are four kings who arise from the earth. But the holy ones of the Most High will receive the kingdom and possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever. What I'm going to talk to you this morning about is receiving and possessing the kingdom. Receiving and possessing the kingdom. And I'm so glad that the Lord spoke to us this morning and said that today is a day for fresh revelation of Him. Because as much as this passage has been on my heart and I've been determined in my spirit, this was the passage I had to read and share this morning. I didn't want anyone to think that this was going to be a message about horns or beasts or kings or any of that stuff. Because what I want to talk to you about today and what the Holy Spirit wants to talk to you about today is Jesus Christ Himself. You see, Daniel has a vision. Daniel sees something in the night. And I love the fact that as he sees something, he says, "And I kept watching, and I saw the Ancient of Days." He saw God. And he sees something else, and he says, "And I kept watching, and I saw one like the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven." He saw the Lord Jesus.
That's right.
And the Lord wants us to be people who see Him clearly. He wants us to be people who have fresh revelation, not of events, not merely of history, not merely of this or that that's inferior or external to Him, but a revelation of Him.
Yes.
You can have all the answers to all of life's questions, but if you don't know Jesus, you don't really know anything at all. But to see Him and understand Him and know Him means that really you can face any of life's challenges and be more than a conqueror.
That's right.
For the great mystery that the New Testament reveals is not only that Jesus is the Son of God, but this Christ now lives in you and me by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Christ within you, Paul says to the Colossian church, the hope of glory. So it doesn't matter what's going on your street or in your workplace. It doesn't matter what is going on the news or in the horizons of the earth. You and I have a hope of a glorious and certain future because Jesus Christ lives in you by the Holy Spirit. It's a pleasure for anyone to meet you because of the one who lives within you.
Yeah.
You know, this weekend I've had the opportunity to meet with a couple of different groups in the church. We've had a great time together, but every time we've met, someone has said to me, "Well, there are a lot of people not here today. A lot of people away. But you know, it doesn't matter who's away if Jesus is there."
That's right.
It doesn't matter how many of you are there if Jesus is present. Isn't that a wonderful thought? You could be the only one who arrives, but Jesus is with you and in you, and He's ready to meet with you. God plus you is a majority. So you've come this morning. The Lord's spoken to us clearly. I'm going to give you fresh revelation of who I am. I'm going to help you unlock my promises. And that is what He's going to do for you. Amen. Now, this is a funny scripture because you see these visions, you see these pictures, you see God revealed as the Ancient of Days, you see Jesus revealed as the Son of Man, and at the end of the passage we've read, Daniel is given an interpretation, and all of a sudden, a group of people are mentioned that we haven't seen before in this passage. Look back at verse 18 of Daniel 7 with me. "He let me know the interpretation of these things," Daniel says. And verse 18 says, "The holy ones of the Most High will receive the kingdom and possess it forever." Yes, forever and ever. But these people haven't ever been mentioned before. What we've seen is that Jesus is receiving a kingdom. Jesus is given authority to rule and reign. And that His dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom will endure throughout all generations. These kings, they come and they go. They rise and they fall. We see that in our day, don't we? Nations rising and falling, and yet the kingdom of our Lord goes on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Isn't that exciting? The government may well change in this country in 2015. It may well stay the same. But do you know what? The throne of heaven isn't affected at all. Jesus goes on ruling and reigning and ruling and reigning and ruling and reigning. The word of God says in Psalm 2 that God has said, "As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill." And if God has placed him there, He's not going to remove him. Isn't that wonderful? But God lets us into a beautiful divine secret that for those of us who've come to Christ, the holy ones of God, the saints of the Most High, we will receive and possess the kingdom forever. In other words, in coming to faith in Jesus Christ, He has guaranteed you a share of everything that He has inherited.
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't that amazing? Everything He has received, you have been promised a share. You see, God wants to remind His people in these days that they have an inheritance in Him. You have an inheritance in Christ.
That's right.
You have an inheritance that is undefiled. You have an inheritance that is imperishable. You have an inheritance that can't be spoiled by the changings of seasons or the administrations of this world. You have an eternal heavenly inheritance. But God wants you to take hold of it here and now. On Friday, I had to find somewhere quiet to work, and I knew that my parents were away on holiday, so I went to their house to do some work. And when I got there, I found out that they hadn't left for their holiday quite yet. But they didn't mind seeing me, because I brought one of the grandkids, so that was good. And as they were leaving, my mum said, "Now, of course, there's all these things in the fridge," because my mum's, even though we've been married for 8 years, my mum still shops as if I live at home. I think all mums probably do that, don't they? But she said, "Now, there's sandwiches, help yourself. There's cheese, there's this, there's that, there's that. You just help yourself." And go, "Oh, great, fantastic." So it gets to lunchtime, I think, "Where's my sandwich?" But of course, there's nobody there but me, so I had to make it myself. You know, the Christian life can be a bit like that. God says to you, "I've got everything available for you. I've got everything available for you, but you've got to do some work yourself. You've got to take hold of it yourself. You've got to go into the pantry of my word. You've got to go into the fridge of my promises, and you've got to take out the ingredients that I've got there for you, and you've got to do some work yourself." Isn't that great that God has provided everything for you? So when you take hold of his promises, when you take hold of his precious word, he's not reluctant, thinking, "Oh, man alive, another one of the promises they've taken off me." He's thinking, "Fantastic, they're spending their inheritance."
That's right.
You see, when the word of God here talks about receiving and possessing, it's talking about two aspects of the Christian life that we must understand. The first is this: there is a passive aspect to the Christian life. Receiving is not something that you have to do in the first instance. You can only receive if someone is giving you something.
That's right.
And it's funny, isn't it, that he talks here about receiving first. God wants you to understand that you have received something from him. You have received eternal life. The promise for all who come to faith in Jesus is that they have their sins forgiven, they're baptized in water, and next chapter 2, Peter then says, "Now receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." It's gifts. The Lord gives you gifts, and you have to be a recipient of that gift. So God wants us to understand today that we are those who have received things from him. In a moment, I'm going to try and give you a list, but I ran out of things because God has given us so much. But on the one hand, there is this passive aspect of the Christian life where we are those who have received from him. But on the other hand, there's the possessing. God wants us to receive and to possess, because there has to be an active response to that which we have received. It's a bit like Christmas time. My wife counts down the days to Christmas every month. 25th of every month, she gets excited about Christmas. I do too, I must be honest. But you're given a present at Christmas, but if you want to know what's inside it, you've got to undo the wrapping, haven't you? If it's Lego or a model aeroplane or something, you're going to have to make it and build it yourself. You've been given a gift, but you've got to take hold of it, haven't you? Are you taking hold of that which God has freely given you? Or are you just saying, "Well, I've got it, but I'm not really using it"? It's yours. Let me explain what I mean. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We are receiving and possessing the kingdom. Luke 12. Verse 32, Luke 12, 32 says, "Don't be afraid, little flock, because your Father delights to give you the kingdom." That's a beautiful scripture, isn't it? Your Father delights to give you the kingdom.
Yes.
You know, God is a giver.
Yes, he is.
Say that with me. God is a giver. Your Father is a giver, and He is pleased to give you the kingdom.
That's right.
He is pleased for you to receive the kingdom. But turn now with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. God is pleased to give you the kingdom. God is pleased to give you the kingdom. Matthew 11 verse 12 says, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been suffering violence, and the violent have been seizing it by force." So, which one is it? Is it the giving or the taking? What do we do with the kingdom? Does God give it to us, or do we seize it by force? Yes. It's both. There is a receiving, and then there is a violent taking hold of that which we have received. In other words, you're saying, that's mine, and I'm not going to let it go. If Jesus died so that I could be in right relationship with Him, if he was raised from the dead and ascended to the right hand of the Father and has poured out the Spirit upon us, and if He has given to me everything I need for life and godliness, then I am going to take hold of everything that He has purchased for me by His blood. We are going to be those who want everything that God wants for us, aren't we? God wants us to respond actively to the things that He has given us freely. God wants us to respond actively to the things He has given us freely. Let me give you an example of how people had to do this. Look at Joshua chapter 1 with me. Joshua chapter 1. God is looking today for people. People in the city of Coventry who will respond actively to the things He has given you freely. Are you willing to take God at His word and say, God said it, I believe it. That settles it. So Joshua 1 verse 3 says, "I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses." Say that with me. I have given you.
I have given you.
Yeah. God has given. God had given them every place they were to put the soles of their feet. But go down to verse 10. "Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, 'Go through the camp and tell the people, get provisions ready for yourselves, for within 3 days you will be crossing the Jordan to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you to inherit.'" So God had said to them, "I am giving you this land." And then God says to them, "You've got to go in and take possession of the land that I'm giving to you." Now you read the book of Joshua and you suddenly find it wasn't a cakewalk. They had to fight. They had to win battles. They had to overcome obstacles. But all the time they were fighting from a place of victory, not fighting for victory. They were simply fighting and standing and walking and saying, "God has given this to us. We are taking hold of it." There was no enemy that could stand against them as long as they walked uprightly. Because God had guaranteed that every place that they'd put their foot, He would give to them.
Yes.
Now, just think for a moment about your own individual lives. This has to apply to us individually, first and foremost. What has God promised you? What has God given to you? What are the precious promises in His word that you most value? What are the things that He said to you and your husband or wife on the day of your marriage? What are the promises He's made to you concerning your family? What are the things that He has guaranteed He'll do for you in your service of Him in this church and in this city? What has He given you? Just think about that for a second. Are you taking hold of those things? Or are they on the shelf? Are you working and warring and fighting and standing on things that He has guaranteed He'll do for you? Or are they kind of just on the back burner for the time being? A couple of years ago, I asked my wife to buy me some running shoes for my birthday because I like running and wanted to run more. So I thought, I know a good incentive was if she'd buy me a pair of running shoes. So she did. Nice pair of running shoes. But there was a problem. The next year, my birthday came around, and I could count on one hand how many times I've been out running that entire year. Something had to change. Because I wasn't using a gift that I'd been given. And really, that was disrespectful to the giver. God has given you talents and abilities. He's given you graces and measures for you to use in the furthering of his kingdom.
That's right.
Are you using them? Not in the far off places, not in the days to come, but now, where you are, in Coventry. As far as you are concerned, this is the place where God lives, isn't it?
That's right.
You see, God has given things for you to do and to inherit. Now, I was lying awake last night trying to make a list in my head of all the things that God has given us, but it was slightly extensive. I was struggling to get them all down. So let me show you a couple of things. Ephesians chapter 1. Are we doing okay?
Yes.
I'm doing okay too, so that's great. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, these are very simple scriptures. These are scriptures that you're well-taught people, you know. But these are days not just for knowing the word, but for doing the word.
Right.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." How many spiritual blessings have you been blessed with?
Every
one of them. How many is every? Yeah. All of them. You can never go to God and say, "Lord, I really need more spiritual blessings." Because he'll say to you, "I've blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms." And he'll say to you, "And are you taking hold of them?" James says in James 1, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who graciously gives to us without chiding. But let him ask, expecting that he'll receive, not doubting." In other words, God has made me a promise. I believe his promise. I take him at his word and I ask in faith and I receive.
That's right.
I am receiving and possessing my inheritance.
Right.
Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. I know as I'm reading these scriptures to you and talking, I know for a certainty that promises that have been dormant in your life are coming back to remembrance. Now it's not time for condemnation this morning. These are days of grace. And the Lord is saying, I'm waking these up in your life so that you can take hold of them afresh.
Yeah.
It's an exciting day.
Yeah.
It's a day of fulfillment. It's the day in which God promised us and spoke to us this morning. He's going to help us and he's going to fulfill his promises to us.
Right.
What exciting days we're living in.
Yeah.
These are the best days of Coventry's history, aren't they?
Yeah.
2 Peter 1 verse 3 says, "For his divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. By these, he has given us very great and precious promises so that through them you may share in the divine nature." He has given you what for life and godliness? Everything you need.
That's right.
It's like, it's better than Batman's utility belt. It's better than the all-in-one toolkit that my wife bought me when we moved into a house. Clearly dropping a hint there. But he has given you everything you need for life and godliness.
Right.
I heard one preacher put it this way: "I've got what it takes to meet this situation in a godly way." No matter what I face, no matter who I face, no matter the challenge, there's a promise of God for me to take hold of and put into practice because I am receiving and possessing the kingdom.
Very good.
So I want to give you four how-tos this morning. Four how-tos. Four ways in which you can actively receive and possess everything that God has for you. And because I knew I was in the house of great preachers, they all start with the same letter. So when you see Tony, you can tell him the alliteration and the assonance lives on, okay? So the first thing you need to do, if you're going to receive and possess everything that God has for you, is you need to accept it. You need to accept it. Very simply, you need to accept it. Accept the fact that God wants you to take hold of that which he has given you. Just accept it. Change the way you think about yourself, about God, about your circumstances, and about the future. Just accept that God's promises are for you. His promises are for your marriage, your family, your street, your workplace, your city, your church. They're for you. Do you accept it? It means a changing of thinking. It means God's promises are not just for everyone except me. But when the word comes and God says, I'm going to give fresh revelation, you say, that means me. Yeah. It means when there's a promise in God's word concerning health, even if you were born with a condition and the doctors say you can never be cured, you say, God's word is for me. I accept it. Amen. Maybe you've been told by the doctors that you can never have children, but God's word tells you that he can give you children. You say, I accept what he says, not what anyone else says. Amen. It means, folks, that we're changing the way we think. So you're going to start to think more and more and more and more and more and more in line with his promises and benefits. You're going to start to dream about the people that God has promised you you're going to lead to Christ. You're going to start to dream and lie awake at night and think about what your family is going to look like next Christmas when all those loved ones are in the kingdom. Why? Because God's promise of salvation for his household means your family too. But are you willing to receive it and possess it? It's exciting days in the kingdom, isn't it? So the first thing we have to do is we have to accept. Just accept it. You're not so special that things don't apply to you. The next thing you need to do is acknowledge it. Accept it and acknowledge it. Now that means you've got to start to do some speaking. Start to speak in line with the promises. Start to speak in line with the promises. So your confession, the words that you say, are in line with the precious promises of God. A couple of months ago, I told you that we moved into a house. We'd sold our previous house and we weren't able to buy a new one straight away. But it was the Lord who told us to move. So we knew that we had done the right thing. And one Sunday morning, someone in the church in Cardiff came forward and brought a prophetic word about how if anyone in this life has given up homes or family or children for the sake of the kingdom, they'll receive 100-fold in this life. So we said, Lord, we gave up a home for you because you told us to move. Therefore, we thank you that we're going to receive a home for your purposes. That was our confession. And my wife looked at 50, 60 houses, I don't know how many, didn't find the right one. We tried to buy 6 or 7 different ones, couldn't find the right one, kept missing out on sales. But the Lord had told us, you've given up a house, I'll provide you with a house. So we lined up our confession with his word. Do you know what he did? At just the right time, he provided us a home. Learn to line up your life with the promises of God. If God's word says health, then that's what you're going to confess. If God's word says hope, that's what you're going to confess. If God's word says salvation, what are you going to confess? That's right. So learn not only to accept, but acknowledge. The next thing you need to do then, after you've acknowledged, is learn to ask. Ask. Accept, acknowledge, and then ask. We've got time. I'll just show you this from the book of Daniel. If you go back to Daniel, he's a great example of someone who received and possessed the kingdom. Go back to Daniel chapter 1. We see in his life how this works. Daniel 1. This is the story of Daniel and his three friends at Babylon University. And I don't know if they were in halls in Warwick or not, but Daniel 1:17 says, God gave these four young men knowledge and understanding in every kind of literature and wisdom. Daniel also understood visions and dreams of every kind. So notice that God gave them understanding, God gave them abilities, and God gave Daniel the ability to understand and interpret dreams. Who gave it to him? That's right. Now turn over to chapter 2. And in chapter 2, we read the story of Nebuchadnezzar having a dream and saying to the wise men, if you can't tell me what I dreamed, and if you can't tell me the interpretation, I'm going to tear you all limb from limb and make your house a dung heap. I mean, that is the boss of bosses, isn't it? Your boss might threaten you with overtime. This boss threatens to cut you in half and turn your house into a dung heap. There was no HR department in Babylon, you see. But in chapter 2 of verse 17, it says, Daniel went to his house and told his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah about the matter, urging them to ask the God of heaven for mercy concerning this mystery, so Daniel and his friends would not be killed with the rest of Babylon's wise men. The mystery was then revealed to Daniel in a vision at night. Daniel knew he had received something from God. So when the crunch came, what did he do? He got his friends together and they asked according to the promise. He didn't think to himself, well, God will just give it to me. I've received it. I can just kick back. No, he got his friends together. He said, guys, this is the situation. This is the promise God has made to us. Let's ask him, beseech him. And God brought about his faithful word. It's very simple, isn't it? When you know what God has given you, you can ask in line with it and you'll receive it. Bring the promises of God back to him in prayer. Line up your life with his promises. It's so simple, but it's so exciting. A couple of months ago, as I said to you, we were moving house and we had to find a place for our daughter in a new school. And Matthew probably doesn't remember doing this, but years ago, he put something up online from Psalm 16, which says, all my boundary places have fallen in, all my lots have fallen in good places.
Yes.
We were talking about when his kids found their schooling places. And I thought, I'll tuck that away. And whenever my kids ever need a place for school, I'm going to pray that prayer myself. So my wife and I moved into the city, like I said, and all the schools in the area were oversubscribed. But the Lord had told us he'd provided everything we need. So we prayed and asked God to give us a place for our daughter in a school. And when we applied to the council, they said, you're obviously the luckiest people around. They said, if you'd moved a week earlier, there'd have been no place. If you'd moved a week later, there'd have been no place. But because you moved this week, there's a place opened up and we've given it to your daughter. We were asking and asking, and the Lord just arranged all the timing perfectly so that everything was provided. Just learn to take God at his promise and ask according to it, and he'll order all your steps. So accept, acknowledge, ask, and finally, act. Act. Learn to line up your life with the promises of God and live out his word. Be a doer of his promises. My wife taught me this a couple of years ago when a friend of ours had to come stay with us. She was involved in a domestic dispute, and a number of the ladies in the church had been reaching out to her. And so Saskia said to them, come and stay with us, you and your son. You can stay with us for this week and we'll help you with some housing. And as I was going out for an evening when this lady arrived, Saskia simply said, I'm going to lead her to the Lord tonight. Great. Amen. She said, I'm going to lead her to the Lord tonight. And do you know what? When I got home that evening, 2 hours later, I walked in, the first thing the lady said was, I've received the Lord. Very simple. Just acting in line with God's promises. You can be just the same. You can be someone who accepts his promises, acknowledges his promises, asks according to his promises, and acts according to his promises. And as you do, you are going to be someone in this city at this time who both possesses and receives the kingdom. Now, I know that this has a personal application for all of you. So just as I'm coming to a close, I want to give you a moment now to think just with you and the Holy Spirit about what I've said. Because I know that for all of you today, there are things that he is bringing to your remembrance that he wants you personally to take hold of. Just allow the Holy Spirit to talk to you now. Allow him to show you where he's putting his finger on your life. because he has promises in your life that he wants to fulfill. He put them there in you first and foremost because he wants to fulfill them. And he wants to teach you to trust him in that fulfillment. Just listen to him. Just listen to his voice, and you might need to write something down you need to do this week. It might be one of the four things I said at the end that needs to change. And then if you'll just bow your heads a moment, we're going to pray. First of all, I want to give an opportunity. If there's anybody here this morning, as I've been sharing the word of God with you, you realize that you don't know Jesus in the way that I've described, in the way that you've seen us worshiping this morning. We want to give you the opportunity to meet Jesus and to accept him as your personal Lord and Saviour. We're not going to embarrass anyone. We'd like to pray with you afterwards, though. So if there's anyone here who wants us to pray with them after the meeting to come into relationship with Jesus Christ, would you just raise your hand? Just give you a moment. Just raise your hand. Let's pray then together, shall we? Lord Jesus, we want to thank you that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that you have been revealing yourself to us today through your word. And you've been showing us again that you are the God who wants to fulfill all your precious promises in our day and in our time. Pray that you'd help us all this week to be living examples of this word. That you'd show us again where you're putting your finger in our lives on the promises you've made and how you want to bring them about. I thank you that for us as individuals and for us as a church family, the best days are yet to be, because these are days of the fulfillment of your purpose.
Yes, yes.
Thank you that the kingdom of heaven is an everlasting kingdom, one that endures throughout all generations. Thank you that you rule and reign over the authorities and governments in this city. And we pray that this will be a city that knows your life and your health evermore. Thank you for your word this morning, Lord Jesus. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this teaching from City Church Coventry. You can find more great teaching and other resources on our website at www.citychurchcoventry.org.